want to put on our wish list?
So three comments. One is I want to also acknowledge that in the last, I think, year, this council took a position that, to my knowledge, no other city in America has done, which is they told one bureau to become financially sustainable within 10 years. And that's never if the Bureau of Environmental Services gets in front of all of its infrastructure and is doing pay-as-you-go in 10 years while also maintaining rate discipline, they'll be the first sewer bureau, and I use the sewer bureau just to irritate my cow, in the country to do so. And that dwarfs any half a million we've set aside here or millions. We're talking about the entire asset portfolio of a utility. And this council directed that rates stay at current levels to fund that. So that is a monumental commitment. And if we can show discipline in keeping that going for 10 years, and if the director delivers, that's a significant achievement. Mm-hmm. One of our utility bureaus will be fully sustainable. Mm-hmm. Number two, one of the when I joined this council, I was the most junior member of the council. And I think I'm on the verge of becoming the most senior member of the council. And that happened within 10 years. And one of the burdens of being around for 10 years or benefits is you've actually seen history unfold. I just do want to remind my colleagues that while we often look back 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and we find it easy to criticize our predecessors, I remember that in 2008 when I was elected and we were in the worst recession of my lifetime, that we were cutting deeply to the bone on programs that people cared about. I don't remember a single person coming to a public forum, and Commissioner Fritz will correct me if I'm wrong, saying cut deeper because we want you to be more fiscally responsible. People came and pleaded with us not to cut programs that were vitally important to community members. And we had to make very tough calls. Mayor Adams had to, you know, balance a budget, but do so after taking deep cuts in high, very popular programs. So I say that because some of our friends are forecasting that in the next couple years we might hit a naturally recurring recession and have fewer resources. And I can tell you, having lived through that experience, it is no fun to go before the public with big cuts to popular programs. And you're not going to hear people say that this is that what you've discussed today is a front and center priority if it comes at the expense of keeping a community center open or a program for older adults and the like. So I just want to preview that and remind us that we operate in business cycles. The only cranes in the air 10 years ago were affordable housing. That's easily and has been quickly forgotten. It was not market rate. It was affordable. And it was done because a number of people behind the scenes with a toolkit that was completely compromised by the recession, including tax credits, kept projects on track heroically. The final thing I want to suggest, Mayor, and it flows from what Commissioner Fritz just said about, Udaly just said about ADA and some of our requirements. The truth is that some of our biggest unfunded liabilities arise out of litigation. But nowhere is the silo mentality more sort of illustrated than bureaus making assessments about legal risk and then obligating ultimately the city without discussing with colleagues. I would urge you as part of your policymaking, and I will insist, I'll bring an amendment if we can't get it done through your office, that any lawsuit that obligates the general fund above, say, a certain threshold, and I would say minimum of a half million, but I follow your guidance, cannot be resolved without a council discussion. So, I mean, whereas, you know, I think the ADA lawsuit's an example of something which was laudable, we just simply cannot have $100 million of obligation pop up through a litigation portfolio discussion that where the council is not engaged in the conversation. And I'll just remind us that there were some decisions that we had flexibility over on the ADA lawsuit, including the timing of our payments. And that is uniquely a council decision. The council may have decided, for example, to settle the Anderson lawsuit 1 year and then put resources towards an ADA lawsuit. That's uniquely a council-wide discussion and, in my view, cannot be decided bureau by bureau. So I would ask you to also draft a policy that obligates us to bring the council in before resolving lawsuits above a certain threshold, because that quickly becomes, and that's on your list, as an ADA obligation, but it came to us through mm-hmm. the back door, not the front door.
Right.
Nah, there we go. Yeah, I have some thoughts on the debt question that Commissioner Udaly raised and Commissioner Fritz had comments on as well, and it gets back to a question that was asked very early in the session that I have some knowledge about, which is the question of where is the state and where is the city with regard to debt issuance. And the answer is that the state and the city have historically been very conservative and pragmatic, in my opinion, with the issuance of debt. And there's been a longstanding commitment to not get too far out ahead of our skis. There has been a strong desire to maintain a good credit rating, because we all know the better the credit rating, the farther the taxpayer dollars go towards investing in kinds of infrastructure. So Commissioner Udaly asked a provocative question, which is, when do you issue debt? Under what circumstances is it appropriate or not appropriate? And she gave a great example of something that she saw as a value. First of all, I would agree with Commissioner Fish, having been county chair during the downturn of the Great Recession, that people definitely come back and they say, please, you know, they'll make the best case they've ever made for the programs for which they advocate. But indeed, at those times, that can often be the best time to either pay down debt or swap debt or even issue debt. And from my perspective, this state and perhaps to some degree this community missed out by not issuing debt in the midst of the Great Recession, when interest rates were artificially being kept close to zero through federal government economic policy. That was the time to issue debt. And I'll second what Commissioner Fish said. That doesn't mean the public's sentiment is there, and some of you in this room had the privilege of going through a process with me where we tried to put a rather large debt issuance on the ballot for the purpose of investing in college education, scholarships, and job training. And the public overwhelmingly shot it down. It wasn't even the actual issuance of the bonds. It was just the legal authority to be able to issue bonds at the state level for that purpose at a time when the stock market had crashed and interest rates were low. I had the state debt manager just as a favor some number of months ago to run the numbers. And had it gone through under the original concept that we had, Mr. Reinhart, there would be over $100 million in that permanent growing endowment today had we done that, and we didn't do it. So we are now in the best of times, which raises a different question. Interest rates are starting to tick up. The stock market is, you know, I won't make stock market predictions, but I won't call it overheated, but I'll say it's definitely heated. Mm-hmm. It is very hot. And so that creates some different uncertainty. But I sort of have three areas where I think, you know, as I prioritize the issuance of debt, here's how I would do it. And these are in no particular order. Number one, when the liability that one assumes by not issuing the debt is substantially greater than the liability of actually issuing the debt. And I would actually argue your ADA concept fits there. If we do not fulfill the terms of that legal obligation that the city has, the cost to us could actually be substantially greater in the form of litigation that we would undoubtedly face and, in my opinion, likely lose if we did not make the investments we were making around ADA infrastructure. Number two, I think it is appropriate to issue debt in cases where it might cost us a lot more in the future not to do something. And you know, the basic example that people can get their arms around is replacing a roof that's badly damaged. You can wait and you can wait and you can wait, but at some point, if you lose that roof, the cost of mitigating the damage is going to be substantially greater than the cost of replacing the roof in the first place, particularly if you can be thoughtful in terms of how you manage the debt stream. And third and finally, I would just say, if you have a reliable revenue source that could be used for new programs, but it instead, through fiscal discipline, is sequestered away and used to service debt for a known long-term liability. And I would put Build Portland in that category. We have a reliable non-general fund source of revenue. It could potentially be general fund, but it is expiring tax increment funds from expiring urban renewal areas. That funding, rather than going into the general fund, we have decided through policy — the policy is not rock hard, but it is a policy — that we would sequester those funds and incrementally bond against those funds for high priority infrastructure, streets, transportation projects, civic infrastructure, and the like. And so those for me are three examples and three broad strategies where I think it is appropriate to issue debt. And it reminds me how much I miss being state treasurer. It was fun. We had a good run, Jennifer.
I have a question.
Could I just say one thing to the mayor? That we have a very robust debt policy, and we very actively look at our debt portfolio and refund and take advantage of interest rates when they decrease after we've already issued debt. So we are very actively managing our debt portfolio to minimize our interest costs. Sorry.
Mayor, it's poignant because when you were the treasurer, you could probably ask 10 people on the street and they wouldn't be able to tell you what you did for your day job. And now you're blamed for everything that happens in the city. But
they still don't know what my day job is.
You actually ran for this job. I just want to put that in the record. Question about you're building a financial plan chart. And maybe Commissioner Fritz can just shine a light on this. Do we not have potentially an unfunded liability with public financing, or what point could we have let's say we're wildly oversubscribed in 2020. Is there already an existing cap, or could there be a claim to additional resources?
There isn't an expectation that there would be an additional resource.
So it's prescribed by as a formula, and it doesn't go above that.
Correct. And it's dependent on the allocation. I think it's 1.2 ongoing in the budget. That's the fund.
And so if it's oversubscribed, then it gets tailored. Either we have to figure out first come, first serve, or everybody gets less, I guess.
Correct. We're in the process of figuring all that out.
Is this the only thing we're taking on today?
Yes.
My chief of staff was coming up with all these excuses I could have to miss this work session, but I have to say, I don't think we've had a more provocative one. I don't think we've had a more provocative and useful discussion at a work session in a long time. Taking nothing away from other, we've had some very good work sessions, but and I will just remind everybody that the PowerPoint here is like 5 pages. So you didn't inundate it with information. You gave us high impact stuff, and I don't remember the last time the council was so engaged on what are generally pretty dry questions.
I love these issues.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Without further ado, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.